Paul the angry apostle. That's who we're encountering here in Galatians, because he has reason.
Yes.
And he's sufficiently upset. Unlike most folks, he deals with it. And he confronts the people involved in the spirit of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Now, we've come to the second sentence in Galatians chapter 1. And the second sentence runs from verse 6 down through verse 9. So the next section, the next paragraph rather. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Yeah. Accursed is stout language. Cursed of God is what that is. Now, Wednesday, I have a pass out for you from the Roman Catholic Church's Council of Trent that when you read it, you'll see you are operating cursed by Catholicism more than a dozen times in what I have for you. And as I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, next Wednesday I have a pass out for you from having gone to the websites of the Southern Baptist Church of God, Anderson, COGIC, Presbyterian, gone to their websites and their statement of faith and gotten what they say about salvation. And you'll see none of them tells you how to be saved.
Yeah.
They all make it harder than it is. They all add things to it. And it's never the sufficiency of the death, burial, and resurrection. And I'll have that for you this coming Wednesday. If any man preach any other gospel, well, that would be Church of God Anderson. That would be COGIC. That would be Lutheran. That would be Episcopal. That would be... I couldn't find a website that said Christ did everything necessary to pay for your sins. It all had you turn from your sins and live after that, and on and on and on and on and on. The devil's playground is the church of most people's choice.
Yes.
If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you receive, let him be, strong language, accursed, cursed of God. And so, an angry Paul is concerned in this book over the clarity of the gospel, whether or not the people he's writing to, are they accursed or are they saved? So, he's dealing with them, and from verse 6, down through and including verse 16 is one of the more significant sections in all of Paul's writings dealing with his credentials, his ministry, his gospel, and it's very important territory. And it identifies your apostle and his ministry, which is good stuff. Now, Paul is indignant. When you're betrayed, doesn't that elicit in you something that nothing else does?
Yes.
When somebody betrays you, somebody that's your friend, your comrade in arms, and they throw you under the bus and betray you, that hurts, doesn't it? I mean, it makes you mad and it hurts at the same time. Paul's doctrine has been betrayed here.
Yes.
And he's going to deal with it. Paul is indignant, is a good word, that his gospel has been deemed inadequate. Got to go back to the law. It's not then the sufficiency of Christ any longer. And Paul is very jealous of the liberty which is in grace. Paul is very jealous of what Christ has told him and the business of the revelation of the mystery. We should be equally so. And so here comes the Apostle Paul. Now, I love my student's commentary of the Holy Scripture written by George Williams because it's one of the few commentaries with any dispensational orientation at all.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was written back in the 20s, he says some funny things. And he says about the Galatians, he said, the Galatians, being Celts, emotional and fickle, imagine talking about a whole group of people that way. Want to hear me do it? The Pentecostals be emotional and fickle. Not hard, is it?
No, it isn't.
And I'm pretty much right. I mean, for the two people that I'm wrong about, I'll apologize to both of them. And they'll be the old tiny ones.
Yep.
He said, emotional and fickle, warm-hearted and simple-minded. Oh, my, this is in George Williams' 1926 student's commentary on the Holy Scripture, which is a good addition to most anybody's library.
Yeah.
At once welcomed the new teachers and forsook him who had won them to the truth. So, Williams obviously is saying that you're so soon removed from him means that they're so soon removed from Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Get that. I believe Williams is right. Had he said it or not, I believe that it is Paul from whom they've been removed.
Yeah.
If you take the position of most of your library, particularly Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, and make it that they have been so soon removed from Jesus, you've created a problem.
Yeah.
Because Jesus never preached the gospel of the grace of God. He preached the kingdom gospel. And so if you make it other than Paul, then you have people removed from something that wasn't Pauline.
Yeah.
If you make it Jehovah God, if you make it Jesus, if you make it Acts 2 and the Holy Ghost. So, dealing with the simple words here, where Paul says that Christ gave himself for our sins, to whom be glory forever and ever, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ. Christ never called him unto the grace of Christ. He operated under the law, Romans chapter 15, verse 8, every day of his life, Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. So, it's apparent, then, that Paul's upset because what he had put in place is being undone and undermined. My, I've had more experience with that kind of thing happening than I could shake a stick at. People stand on your shoulder and parrot what you've said, but without learning the material and standing on their own foundation, it's not long they'll fly off to somebody else's shoulder and parrot what somebody else said. And it might be contradictory to what you said. I gave you the illustration a week ago of the fellow that was one of the best pulpiteers I've ever heard in my life, who quit the Church of God and walked across the street to the Baptist and doctrine, schmoctrine, he was still good at what he did.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, in Acts chapter 14, in verse 21, has had some success. When they preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and they had prayed with fasting, they commended themselves to the Lord on whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia and come to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word to Perga, they went down to Italia. Italy, got a pizza. And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended the work of the grace of God, for which they fulfilled, and they were come together, and they'd gathered in church. They got it going on.
Yes.
And apparently, some of it was written in sand. And so, those that had the tides of confusion wash away that which had been written in sand are the Galatians with whom Paul is dealing. Wasn't that well said? That's poetic. Mm-hmm. And the tides of confusion. Yeah, that's good. I never know what I'm going to say. A lot of times I don't like it very much. Every once in a while it's not too bad. Paul had such zeal and such a heart for the ministry of the message. Just as adamantly as he opposed Peter and the little flock and he's complicit in the stoning of people, he is every bit as adamant and fired up for serving as he had been opposing.
Yes.
That's a character issue.
Yes, it is.
The Lord taught the doctrine to a man who opposed him, but had strength of character, strength of will, self-starter, didn't quit when he got knocked around, didn't quit when it looked like he was losing. The doctrine was put in a man of character.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What a concept. Now, as you go through the book of Galatians, and I've given you a rather considerable list, there are 20 things wrong with the Galatian people, and I think I only gave you 19 on the list. No, 20. How about that? It'd be like me to give you 19 and not remember the 20. But of course, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, they were removed from the grace of Christ onto another gospel. They had allowed themselves to hear a perverted message, something that had been spoiled. In Galatians chapter 3, they had been bewitched. Who should bewitch you? Who hath bewitched you? Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered is the old song, right? And the concept is that they were undoing the crucifixion and requiring that he be crucified again. I mean, just every time you do it, and it's rather like the Roman mass, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The mess of the mass. And in verse 2, they were focusing on Moses, and the wrong thinking about being perfected in the works of the flesh. Can I stop at Galatians chapter 3, just in verse 3, just long enough to say, you will hear for the rest of your life, faith without works is dead, faith without works is dead, faith without works is dead. What's the point of verse 3? Have you begun in the Spirit? You're made perfect by the flesh? See, it's faith without... Gotta have works, gotta have works. Paul say, no, that's not it. It's the work of the Spirit getting it done. Right. Then, in verse 4, you see that vanity. It's right in front of their face. The Holy Spirit has shown up. Miracles are taking place. And they're more oriented toward getting back under the weak and beggarly elements of the law. Most of Christianity combines Paul's message with Christ's message and creates something that's impossible. Mixing works and grace.
Yes.
Mixing law and grace. It's impossible because none of us is capable of keeping the law. What if you were capable? Does not the Pentecostal Holiness Church, does not Church of God Anderson teach that you are capable of second blessing holiness? Then, would you not then have the faith of Christ and you're keeping the law? Faith of Christ and keeping the commandments is the definition of the everlasting gospel. Revelation chapter 14. Who delivers the everlasting gospel? An angel delivers it. Why does Paul say, even if it comes from an angel? What are these people? Are they Holy Ghost endued? Well, the Holy Ghost has showed up. They're not sinless.
No.
But might they be attempting to combine Christ and the law? Yeah. And now we got the Holy Ghost, so maybe we're the people of Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. And Paul says, I don't care if an angel told you this. Mm-hmm. Now, Stam, in his commentary on Galatians, says on one of the pages, two gospels, question mark? He's talking about the kingdom gospel versus the gospel of the grace of God. What Paul has brought into the picture, which I can't find anybody seeing what I see, which either means I'm onto something or I'm as crazy as usual. You decide for yourself. You become fully persuaded in your own mind. Don't follow after me. Paul, he's not talking about an angel because of hyperbole. There's going to be an angel present a gospel which is very much like what the Galatians are attempting to accomplish. They're in the wrong dispensation to do that. So Paul is upbraiding them for that. Galatians chapter 3. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, down along about verse 10, I certify you, brethren, verse 11, that the gospel which is preached of me is not of after men. It's got to be then not what Peter talked about. Can't be James and John's material. Paul, over and again, all through the book of Galatians, not having named another person, he calls nobody in the book of Galatians fellow laborer, yoke fellow. He doesn't call anybody a saint.
No.
Conspicuous by its absence is that kind of language in the book of Galatians. Paul's got people with him. He doesn't name them. You got a guy that's hot. He's indignant. He's upset. Look at Galatians chapter 4. This is what put me over. It didn't take much. I'm already in Kansas with Dorothy and Toto. I already knew the holiday celebrations were wrong because of all the paganism. I already knew Christ was born in late September. I already knew that how goofy it is and how wrong we're teaching children. Good Friday and Sunday, there's 3 days there.
Yeah.
We're teaching boys and girls. Stupid thing. Well, Easter's late this year. Easter's early this year. What is Jesus? A Mexican jumping bean popping up whenever? I mean, what goes with that? That was bad. But what just knocked it out of the park for me was Galatians chapter 4. Verse 9, after you've known God, rather known to God, how turn you the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire to be in bondage? You observe days, months, and times, and years. That's the feast and liturgical calendar of the system that God gave Israel. The liturgical calendar in the United States churches are the same calendar items. They celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, they celebrate Ascension, they celebrate, it's all the same stuff. Wow. And then when Paul makes it clear in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 to 5, that it is the mark of the weak that they esteem one day over the other, why would you encourage weakness? When Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, you're not subject to any of that, why would you be subject to any of that? So that knocked it out of the park for me. I mean, I already had commercialism going for me. I already had paganism going for me. I already had all the lies that are told going for me. Now, this became then the doctrinal frosting on the cake, where from that I could see I'm an offense to the doctrine.
Yes.
By regarding one day over another.
Yes.
So I try very diligently not to do so.
Yeah.
The, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Just another day. Another day of opportunity to serve the Lord according to the revelation of mystery. Not according to what I feel like.
That's right.
I feel so close to Jesus when I put the tree up.
He was crucified on one.
The Lord was crucified on one.
You're making a travesty.
The Galatians chapter 1 issue that is so desperately important deals with the purity of the gospel.
Yes.
You add anything to the works of the Lord Jesus Christ and you've done wrong. There's no negotiating space there. We don't need every head bowed. We don't need every eye closed. We don't need nobody looking around. We don't need you to come down front. We don't need you to ask Jesus into your heart. We don't need you to recite the sinner's prayer. We don't need you to make Jesus the Lord of your life. We don't need you to turn from your sins and walk in a new direction.
No.
We need you to know you're the sinner for whom he died, and that his death, burial, and resurrection were sufficient to pay the price for your sins and make you accepted in the beloved, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, by grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where then you are complete in Christ, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, and God's not mad at you anymore, Romans chapter 5, verse 1.
Amen.
Keep it simple.
Yes.
I left it off the last day.
Saints.
Saints. Simple saints. Carol sanctified the kiss. Thank you, my dear. Well, Paul's mad at these people. He doesn't call them saints. He doesn't call them yoke fellows. He wouldn't call them saved from the looks of it.
No.
I believe I've invested, waste my time with you. I've invested you in vain. So, in Galatians, in chapter 2, in verse 16, we see the by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, no man is justified by the law. How simple is this? Mm-hmm. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, if you're trusting the law, you're not trusting grace. You've fallen from the grace doctrine. So the other gospel, which is not another, can't save your soul.
That's right.
It brings with it, Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, the curse of the law.
Yes.
As many as are of the words of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. Does not James agree with that when James says, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all?
Yeah.
You can, in 2 seconds, well, take a minute, demonstrate to anybody they're not keeping all the law. Just go to Deuteronomy chapter 22 and read for a while, and and they'll be done.
Yeah.
In Galatians chapter 3, Galatians 3 is just so rich when you're dealing with wrong teachings, because the antidote to so many wrong things is in Galatians chapter 3. If you're dealing with Seventh Day or Church of God, White Wing Pillar of Truth, or whoever it is that you're dealing with, and you don't know quite what to do, turn to Galatians 3. That's a good place to start. It'll help you. No man is justified, verse 11, by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident that just shall live by faith. The pitiful thing about what happened as a product of the Second Great Awakening and the Cumberland Valley Revival and Finney, why revival tarries in Ravenhill, is the norm in evangelical and fundamental churches has become the altar call.
Yes.
And the altar call has ceased to be the gospel a long time ago. And now it is crowd manipulation technology to get people down front, to get them to agree to certain things. And that's not how a soul is saved. The emphasis in Galatians chapter 1, let him be accursed, verse 8, that's strong.
Yes.
There's no purgatory or limbo for him there. He's cursed of God. There's no second chances. You can wear your scapula and it won't do you a bit of good. It will burn in the lake of fire right there hanging on your neck. So, we need to be very careful. Of all the people who should be adept at presenting the gospel, mid-Acts dispensationalists ought to be near the top of the cream of the crop.
Yes.
Because we know better than to put them under the law. We know better than to think that turning from sins is not a work. It is. We know better than to think that reciting words, Romans 10, 9, and 10, is not a work. It is. So we should be most capable of walking circumspectly when it comes to presenting the gospel of the grace of God, the souls will actually get saved and not just become church members and sing in the choir. Huge difference.
Amen, amen.
When Sister Carol and I were privileged to meet Vance Havner, who at that point was in his 80s and had been retired for 15 years and written 20 books,
yeah.
He said the problem with two-thirds of the average Baptist churches are all going to land in hell. And the joke he made was we might get them saved if we didn't baptize them and put them in the choir first.
Yes.
Which was interesting. Now, B.R. Lakin made it worse. He made it three-quarters.
Yep.
The Prince of Preachers, the priests Jimmy Carter and Menachem Begin, he said three-quarters. of the Baptist church. He wasn't saying Episcopal. He wasn't saying Methodist. He wasn't saying... Whoops. Phillips. Must be hungry. Now, care about the gospel and the simplicity of the gospel is Paul's issue. Jesus, when Paul talks about the grace of Christ, Jesus, grace and truth came by Christ.
Yes.
No question about that. But not when he shows up. Israel's grace will be when he shows up the second time. Our grace is according to the revelation of the mystery, which shows up Acts chapter 9 and after. Jesus taught salvation was of the Jews. Jesus taught in John chapter 5, verse 29, that people come forth that have done good unto the resurrection of life. That's performance for life.
Mm-hmm.
So, Paul is very upset. Now, think with me. If you're talking to somebody and you say to them, or they tell you they're saved, and you say to them, how is a person saved? And they throw in circumcision.
Wow.
What reason would you have to believe that they were saved?
None.
Maybe before they got messed up with the people that came in Acts chapter 15, maybe they were saved. But you don't have anything to go by but the words of their testimony.
That's
and
it.
Their testimony is wrong.
Yes.
I've dealt with a lot of people over the years who say, well, I thought when I was 9 years old, I went forward in the Baptist church and I prayed through and I prayed the sinner's prayer and I asked Jesus into my heart and got baptized. And they'll say, well, I'm just not so sure anymore, Brother Terry, if I'm really saved or not. Probably they weren't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We go over the gospel and I ask them, you know, what are you trusting now? And I keep beating on them until it's Christ and nothing else. His death, his burial, his resurrection, nothing more, nothing less. At which point I say, what time is it? It's 11:33. What day is it? September the 19th, 2010. Write that down. Because we know at that time you were saved. I don't care what happened when you were 8. I don't care about the 7-Eleven you knocked over and that made you think you were lost. And I don't care that you were there in the prison and oh, you repented and turned. And I don't care. I care about what's on you right now. And your faith is where it needs to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
So leave it alone.
Yes.
Forget those things which are behind. Reach for those things which are ahead. And press on for the mark of the high calling. God bless you.
Amen.
I don't know how many guys I've done that with over the years. Quite a few.
Yeah.
Professions of salvation when they didn't know what hit them because the church machinery had them come down front to
yes.
pray through and get
mm-hmm.
baptized and mm-hmm. sing in the children's choir. The church machinery gobbled them up and spat them out. You don't know if they're saved or unsaved because they don't know if they're saved or unsaved. So forget all that. You and I should be very, very skilled, very, very careful about the utilization of the material so that we present it with clarity. Don't add to it, don't take from it, and present Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Now, the fight that Paul is fighting is against what's going on, of course, in Acts chapter 15. Paul is present in Acts chapter 15, but it's not his meeting. Certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. I would never change my King James Bible. It doesn't need changing. It doesn't need correcting. But just for the sake of illustration, put other words there in place of circumcision.
Yeah.
Except a man be baptized, he cannot be saved. Except a man live the life, he cannot be saved. Except a man join the church and do the five things that the Church of Christ requires happen at every meeting, he cannot be saved.
That's it.
Unless he eats the wafer. No matter what work you put in there, it's still wrong. So there's a battle. And that battle, what makes us think we're not in a fight? What makes us think that because these are nice people and vote for the same guy we vote for and mow the grass same as we mow our grass, so oh, they must be saved, they're nice.
Yeah.
When most of the planet is going to hell with a false gospel, and I will demonstrate that to you with more clarity this coming Wednesday when I give you the statements of faith of all these different denominations off their websites, which you can Google, and maybe you've already done that and checked it out for yourself. Sometimes they are so amorphous in what they say, you really don't know what they're saying. It's just spewing out a cloud mm-hmm. so that you can believe anything. But it doesn't take a great deal of discernment to read through any of them and see the problems that you have.
Yeah.
I may add two or three. I should add Lutheran. That's what I was raised up in. I got catechized and had the idea that if I did more good than I did bad, God's going to let me in. I'll be okay.
You got the Holy Spirit.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. I got the Holy Spirit when he slapped my face. That gave me the Holy Ghost. Paul walks into town, he says, I care none of nothing of you, save Christ and Him crucified. That's our message, Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
The preaching of the cross, which is to them which perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. The business of the death, the burial, and resurrection is payment for sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He who knew no sin made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's His propitiatory, substitutionary atonement. His sacrifice, His payment. God accepted Christ, not us.
Amen.
Because God is the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so the transaction for salvation was executed by the Godhead.
That's it.
We're spectators and beneficiaries. We see it, we believe it, we benefit from it. Mm-hmm. Opponents to mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division will take Galatians chapter 1 and use verse 6 to say, Paul must have been messed up if you say he has a different gospel. They want there to be only one gospel in all the Bible. And so, if you're removed unto another gospel, Paul says, then you're wrong. They take that to mean Paul is preaching Peter's message, Paul is preaching Jesus' message. And that's out there.
Yeah.
Their point would be that any change from the Lord in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John would be what Paul's talking about here. So we need to be consistent with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that is the anti-dispensational position. So you need to be prepared to deal with that, with the people who want to follow Jesus. They, of course, aren't following Jesus.
No.
They say they want to. I marvel that ye are so soon removed. Paul gave him the gospel information as he got it from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is warning them about moving on to another gospel, which is not another. Confusing language if you think there's only one gospel in the Bible.
Yes.
Brother Stan doesn't help greatly when he points to the two gospels of the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. I'm as convinced as I can be the reason that Paul raises the specter of an angel in verse 8 is because the everlasting gospel of the tribulation of the angel is a combination of faith of Christ and keeping commandments.
Yep.
Very much as Seventh-day Adventism is today. So, that's a point that seems to be missed by, I have 21 different books that have Galatians in it. That's a point that seems to be missed by most of them. We don't miss it. If you agree with it, then go ahead and miss it. That's okay, too. But I don't think that's preacher talk. I don't think that's hyperbole. I think that that is a legitimate raising of an issue here, that what the Galatian people are doing is another gospel, which is not another, and that it's not in place now. It has no standing as Paul is writing this. So, there are those who would trouble you. You don't have to be saved very long, and somebody will make it their job to trouble you.
Yes.
I don't know why that is. If you are a dirty joke telling, beer drinking, cussing guy at your workplace, you never hear from the Christians that are there.
Yeah.
They never tell you how to be saved. They never tell you they're offended by your cussing. They're just blended into the woodwork. But let you show up at that same workplace with those same people, and you say, well, I went to church and got saved. At least two of those people in the workplace who never had a word to say to you about the gospel,
yeah,
will tell you, you need to go to their church.
Yes.
And here's why. Mm-hmm. They don't talk in tongues at your church, so you need to come to mine. They do talk in tongues at your church, so you need to come to mine. They baptize once at your church, you need to come to mine and do it three times, or you need to come to mine and do it. Jesus, they will descend on you like vultures. They never, ever talk to you about the gospel.
Yeah.
But sure. Once they can make merchandise of you, honey, they're right there to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what that is? That's Galatians 6.
Yes, it is.
That's Galatians 6. Verse 12. As many desire to make a fair show of the flesh, they constrain you to be baptized, circumcised, talk in tongues, yada, yada. See in verse 12? Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny how that is? You can use the Lord's name in vain and tell every dirty joke you ever heard and talk nothing about work but ball games and floozies and what are all the B words that the preachers used? The bimbo, the Buick, the booze, the bucks.
Yeah.
That's your life.
Yeah.
And the same people there in the workplace with you never, never bothered you with the gospel and never bothered you with Christ. You get saved. They're on you, like honey on biscuits.
Oh, yeah.
Paul's issue is with these people that pervert the gospel, verse 7. The Galatians have been messed up. They've been descended upon. Somebody has made a mess of them. And Paul is indignant. He's angry. He's upset. His heart's broken. He's been betrayed. He's got people. He doesn't know if they're saved or lost. His concern, Galatians chapter 4, and we're done. Verse 11, I'm supposed to be redeeming the time. I've wasted it. I spent all this time on you, and now you think the New American Standard is better. I spent all this time on you, and you're telling people to ask Jesus into their heart. I spent all this time on you, and you don't even think Jesus was God. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he didn't know it. He's put aside all his deity attributes. I spent all this time on you, and it was a total waste. Hmm? That would upset you, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Make you want to get a good hobby. Do that. We'll stop there and pick up next time. Next time you have two pass outs. The crowd goes. Mm-hmm.